You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind. Not a yes sir, not a follower. Fit the box, fit the mold, have a seat in the foyer. Take a number. I was lightning before the thunder.
19 minutes after 9 on a Monday, Mike McNamara with you. Joining me from the great state of Texas is Mr. Texas himself, Mike Musselman.
You sound like you got a case of the Mondays.
No. I heard you were going to get your, don't ask me how I know this, but I heard that you were going to get your Texas card pulled after all the shit talking you did on Friday about having to school everybody about what Mexican food was.
No. We were just talking about Tex-Mex in general.
And so what did you cook? Did you make a Mexican food?
Yeah. And I did get my Texas card pulled. I had to turn it in. So you fucking morons. You guys, man, I swear to God.
What do you mean me? I didn't have anything to do with it.
Oh, I know.
Well,
I did.
I did a little bit. I said, look, when Mike moves to Mississippi, just so you know, he already talks about California.
That's what he said. He's going to be bad-mouthed in Texas. I said, Mississippi? Where the hell does he get this shit from? He's a science fiction writer.
I told him. I said, hey, you're going to be the next version of California, man, just so you know. Buck, you're going to be like the village idiot. And he read that. He's like, you know what? He's so right. He knows it. Mac knows it.
I know. So right.
Listen to this.
Ready to move to Mississippi, boys.
Let's go, boys and girls. Come on, Tina. It's a beautiful place.
It is not. It's a shithole.
Desiree Linden fights rain and wind to become the first American woman to win the Boston Marathon since 1985.
What do you mean, to win the Boston Marathon?
Yeah, the Boston Marathon's going on today.
I know, but the women, don't they have their own category? Like,
yeah.
There's a category, so they always
for women.
Win.
No. She's an American woman who won the race. Normally it's... Ethiopian or Kenya, man. They crush it.
Oh.
How about that? Yeah, you,
well, same with the guys.
USA! You... That's not our gig.
No.
So, maybe an American... He might be an American citizen, because that's how he protects his money, but he's not from America.
Like baseball. Baseball, you know, and then all of a sudden now, shit, the Japanese are showing up on the shores, and they're kicking the crap out of us, along with the Dominicans and, you know, the Puerto Ricans and... American base, you know, if you're a white boy in America living in Nebraska, give it up.
That kid from Japan, man, he's legit. He hit.
I know, look at that. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
speaking of baseball, since you brought it up.
Yeah. I thought we were.
What a great start.
I thought we weren't talking baseball until what?
Well, you brought it up. So
August?
I was going to say, hey, what a great start.
I didn't bring it up. You brought it up.
I thought you brought it up.
No, you said Boston Marathon. Hell, you know, look at baseball. I didn't bring it up, so don't even go there.
Oh, but you brought up Boston. That's baseball.
Is that how...
The only time you can talk about baseball... Okay, Boston baked beans, baseball, Boston cream pies.
Boston mass holes?
Yes, Bostonian massholes.
Exactly.
They're all over the place.
They know who they are. Exactly.
And what else? Paul Revere, man. If you say any one of those things, you're talking about baseball.
Paul Revere gets you baseball?
Yeah, because he gets you Boston.
Wow.
It's an automatic segue into baseball, is Paul Revere.
Okay, and so I'll tee it up for you. So what point would you want to make about baseball?
No, I was just saying, what a great start, man.
For the season? There's too many rainouts.
There is a lot, but, you know, shit, the Angels are doing good.
Anybody else want to talk about doing well?
That team from Boston, the Red Sox.
The Red Sox are, what, 13-2 or some crazy shit like that?
13-2, .867. I mean, I'm not counting.
That's what all that was about. That was a long way to get to that number, okay?
Yeah. .862. Who else is 862 in baseball? 867 in baseball?
The Angels.
Nobody.
The Angels are
3. No, they're 816.
813. Yeah. The Angels are
813.
13-3. The Mets are 12-2. The Pirates are 11-1. Arizona.
The Pirates, dude.
Yeah. What?
I thought
when they traded that McCutcheon to the Giants, it's like, yeah, we won't see them for a few years. Arizona 11-4. The Dodgers in last place in the National League West.
Which is beautiful.
At 5-9.
Yeah. The Dodgers and the Yankees are like the villains. They're like, you know, they're like Darth Vader. There's people that root for Darth Vader. I get it. But there's more people that are for the Rebel Alliance. You know?
I mean, what is the Rebel Alliance? Is that what Darth Vader fights?
Yeah, it's what, like, yeah. So the Yankees and the Dodgers would be the evil empire, and then all the other teams are the Rebel Alliance. Because whenever those teams are doing, like, I hate the Dodgers.
What?
I hate the Dodgers on the same level because they're just a slimy baseball team. They're slimy. And don't ask me what kind of slime we're talking about. Just slime. Like that sticky, gooey slime you can't even get off after you wash your fingers. Just still there. Yeah. Nasty.
Wow.
Because I don't like Lasorda.
Oh, the big Dodger in the sky?
Yeah. I don't like Lasorda.
You know, you know how when you go get the diagnosis for post-traumatic stress through the VA is something that you have to go, you have to go see, what is it, Mike? It's an independent psychiatrist that the VA contracts with, and they sit down and they decide if you rate the diagnosis, right?
So right.
I go to see this dude. And in West Los Angeles, and so he started talking, you know.
In a shitty neighborhood? Was it in a shitty neighborhood?
No, it was a nice neighborhood. Near Culver City. Wasn't bad. Oh. It was nice. So I'm sitting in his office, and so he's got a picture of the Dodgers up in his office someplace, and so he asked me at some point, "Are there things that you really hate?" And I said, "Yeah, I hate the fucking Dodgers." He looks at me and goes, he says, "What?" I said, I hate the fucking Dodgers, okay? My dad coached for the Giants, okay? Tommy Lasorda, his fat ass, the big Dodger in the sky, bleeding Dodger blue. Then he went from the Giants to the Padres, so I got another healthy dose of it. Then he went from the Padres to the Reds. So I spent most of my formative years, probably from 1970 through 1985, hating the Dodgers with a passion, okay? And so then he looked down at my record. He goes, "McNamara. Your dad's John McNamara?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I remember your dad." I'm like, hopefully this will pad my VA rating, huh?
Yeah, right.
So, big Dodger in the sky, Tommy Lasorda. He used to be on TV all the time talking that shit. I hated them.
Mm-hmm.
I still hate
them.
Yeah.
I still hate them.
The Dodgers.
I met Steve
Sachs. I love the Yankees. Steve Sachs in my hometown. Steve or Dave?
Well, I met Steve, the second baseman.
Second baseman, yeah.
I met him when I was a really young kid, and I was like,
no kidding.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like, and I really looked up to him because I played second base, and he was my hero.
He's good.
And then I got to meet him, and he was a dick.
He was a dick.
Oh, he was a big dick. You know,
Isn't that crushing as a kid?
Yeah, it's like, I'm not trying to take your job, Steve. I just, shit, man, you're this pro baseball guy, you're a legend, and he was a good baseball player.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be a dick.
Yeah, he was. Well, you know, that's, yeah. I'll tell you what.
There's your rule from now on. Don't be a dick.
As a kid, can you imagine you get to see these guys on their own time? And
they're a dick.
Oh, my God. You know? And you're just like, you grow up when you're a little guy, you idolize them, and then you become a teenager, and then you get to kind of see them, and you're like, what a bunch of, they're pieces, actually, didn't you think they're pieces of garbage?
A lot
garbage.
Of them are okay. Yeah.
And then, as you get a little bit older, you think, you know what, they're like any group of Lance Corporals. There's good ones, there's bad ones, but most of them are somewhere in the middle struggling with it. And that's the truth. Not easy.
But see, I wasn't that way. When I became a rock star in the Marine Corps, I was very approachable, man.
You were so nice. There's people all over the world right now that are listening that are just guffawed that.
So I know, but it was funny. There were times where we would go out.
You're Steve. You're Steve Sachs.
No, I was not Steve Sachs. I learned that lesson. But we'd be out. We'd be out with the general, or you know, even when I was with Dave or somebody else. And we get stopped and be like, sir, do you mind if we take a picture? And they'd be like, yeah, sure, no. Oh, no, with the gunner. You know, because it's like, we never seen a gunner before. And it's like, we hear about him. And I'm like, yeah, it happens all the time. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, hey, Sergeant Major or General, do you mind holding the phone for that young lady so she can get a picture too? And, you know, oh, man, it was so much fun. Like, no, just the gunner. We'll take a picture. Because it's like a unicorn. Yeah, you know, this weird... Never see it. Like, what's that? Oh, my God. I heard about these guys. And it happened in Takata.
You
know, so we were going through. Yeah, we were going through there, and we stopped for something. I forgot what it was. I mean, it was just some kind of weird shit. And then someone
said something. So wait a minute. What were you doing in Takata? Were you there for salsa night?
Mm-mm. So when you came in the back gate.
Okay, Mike, tell everybody what
left.
Tell everybody what salsa night was at Takata.
It will. Let me tell you real quick. So you went left.
Right.
And you went down on the other side. It's across the lake, basically, a corner of the lake, from the airfield. So it was like a supply depot. And we were down there picking up some stuff. And everybody's doing the talking and whispering. And then all of a sudden this person comes up and goes, sir, your last name is Musselman. And I said, yes. And are you related to Bonnie Musselman? And I said, no, but I get her emails all the time. She was a Lance Corporal, you know, I don't know. And so she goes, they're like, sir, Bonnie's here. And I'm like, let me meet her. So she comes out and I'm like, hey, and I'm like, this is my daughter. You know, we're like laughing. And so then we take a picture and then everybody else takes a picture once again, the picture, and it became a big thing. And all my Marines are sitting on the Humvee like, fuck it. This is bullshit, man.
So that's
and
how,
it happened.
That's
it
how,
happened in the.
That's how much of a rock star you were.
Yeah, and even like in we're in Baya, you know. So we're in the green zone, dude, by the embassy,
right?
And I just got done with a meeting.
Do you think it was? Do you think it was because of the pineapple rank insignia? Because nobody knew what that was.
Well, it was a lot of things. It was a lot of fun. So, but it was fun. It was always fun because, like I said, like we're in Baya in the green zone. And I'm putting my body armor over my head. I'm like putting on, and I hear these. I hear my Marines go, "Oh, dude, check out that good-looking redhead right there." And so I turn around and I look at her, and I said, "Oh, I know her." And they're like, "Bullshit, sir! You say that about everything." I'm like, $10 says I know her. I said, "Watch." So I start walking over towards her, and I said, "Megan." And she turned and looked at me. She came running up, getting a big hug, jumped in my arms. We started laughing. We started doing it. And the guys, I look back at their faces, and their jaws are dropped. Like, and it was Megan McClung when she was to work for KBR. She was human resources for KBR.
Who's Megan McClung?
She got out of the Marine Corps.
Oh, she was in the Marine Corps?
Yeah, she died in the Ramadi.
Oh,
and right after we left. Yeah.
That's right.
And so she was our PAO, actually. Remember? Little feisty, short, redhead, I mean, just firecracker, Irish temper, like you would believe. but it was Megan. And so, you know, so we're laughing and like, hey, she's like, how long are you staying there? And I'm like, oh, you know, I'm staying overnight. She's like, ah, perfect. We'll go to dinner. Yeah, we'll have a good time.
I'll take you down to the bar. We'll go get hammered, huh?
Mm-mm.
No?
They wouldn't let me do that. No, they wouldn't let me do that. And plus, that'd feel bad if I drank like that from the Marines. I mean, she even, that got offered a beer and I turned it down, but dude.
I'm with you.
But it was good to see her. But then I went back to the Marines and I'm like, hey, up, suckers. And they're like, oh shit. And I'm like, no. You said you know everybody. And I'm looking, you know, I always like joke around. I'm like, I fucking know everybody. You know, just that. It was stuff like that that kind of kept it going.
The
and
legend.
In Afghanistan, remember? Remember in Afghanistan?
Which time?
It
happened so often.
The USO girl.
The USO girl? What USO girl?
The one that took care of Dave. Remember, she went down and picked him up. She was the only reason that Dave didn't go ballistic
when he got to Kuwait.
Down in Bahrain. Yeah.
Right. No, I remember that.
She picked him up in a van, took him back, gave him a cigar. You know, it just kind of, and here's this, you know, pretty blonde girl out of nowhere. And so, you know, that's kind of fun. And then so when we go to Kandahar, they'd always pick us up in the van. And all the Marines would be like, what the hell? It'd be like five girls, all five civilian girls picking up two of us in the van, driving us to Kandahar, like everywhere we go. I'm like, who the hell are these guys? Rock stars.
Yeah, this is, look, can you imagine trying to live with him? Yeah, it's impossible. Now, you're getting a little dose, okay, of what he's like. Normally when he comes on, he's all on guard. He doesn't like to, like, talk about himself. This is him. This is the true Mike Musselman right here.
No, it was fun.
I know everybody.
I was a nice guy. I was approachable. I was friends with everybody.
Text message.
You know?
Text message. Rock star? Question mark? Exclamation mark? Question mark? More like a unicorn. What? A unicorn? I don't know. Mike, he knew a lot of people. Okay? He knew a lot of people. And people were always happy to see him. And, yeah.
The unicorn Pegasus? Okay, Pegasus was not a unicorn there, Luke.
I don't know. What is Pegasus?
Pegasus was the flying horse from Greek mythology. You know, or he took Medusa's head and went out and...
Whatever, I hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, let's memorize fairy tales. Let's memorize Greek and Roman like fantasies and let's talk about it.
Now they take the low blow. Garner would walk around with his uniform at graduation day at MCRD to garner astounded reactions.
No, he wouldn't.
That's what real leaders in the Marine Corps went down to the boot camps and were real leaders, platoon commanders and company commanders.
Yeah.
Drill instructors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mike never did that. He never did that. If you've never been, though, you should go. In fact, if you're going to go on vacation in San Diego, if you want to see a cool event, go to a boot camp graduation. And what's cool about it is the reaction of parents when they see their scumbag kid that they said goodbye to 13 weeks ago.
That is cool.
Every nationality, it's awesome. If you've never seen it, put it on your list. If you want to have a fun, good day, just stand up in the bleachers and just watch it as – These families go look for their little scumbag, and now he's just tan, you know, thinner, clear eyed, shaved head, motivator. It's awesome. It's awesome.
But still, on the tipping point to be a scumbag or not.
Yeah, it could. Yeah.
Better.
Yeah.
It could still tip back. They could go back to their old, revert to their old ways.
Yeah, without a doubt. And depending on the environment, you said, like the changes, that advertising slogan, the changes forever, maybe not. They go to the wrong unit, you get to do whatever you want, then you backslide into being a scumbag again. Now you're a scumbag on active duty. So, I had a couple things I wanted to ask you. Well, for whatever reason, for whatever reason, the peanut gallery is active this morning. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, that's not the peanut gallery. What do we call it for?
Ass clowns. The ass clown gallery. The gallery.
That's the carnival.
The galleria of, no, Russia's the carnival. The galleria of ass clownery. Those guys, yeah, for whatever reason, they're active today. When the gunner gets...
So we're not even going to repeat. Don't even repeat some of that stuff that they're saying right now. Because the last comment that just came up, I'm sickened by that.
I know. Disgusting.
Disgusting.
When the gunner gets the gun talking about himself, is there a chance we could talk about guns? I don't know. He can go for a while when he talks about himself. Look, you know, it's not me that said, you know, when I was a rock star, you know, that was Mike. That was Mike who said that, for the record.
I was being baited, though, for the record.
So, just like I baited him into the baseball comment. What about...
Exactly. Let me right into that trap.
Thank you. What about any thoughts on the bombing of Syria?
They got bombed?
Yeah. It was in the news on a little bit
okay,
on
Okay, well,
Friday.
See, there's my comment. You should already take it, but I haven't been watching the news, so why are you going to piss me off?
No, I know you've watched that. All right.
No, I didn't. I didn't watch that.
Do you know email? Confidence is the title of this email. Gunner's making me blush. I think he's saying that you're relatively self-confident, Mike. Most people, you should know that. He's not shy about it either. He doesn't wear it on, I will say this though, I've known him for a long time, doesn't wear it on his sleeve. He's a pretty jovial guy and friendly, and as long as everybody's cooperating, but if you put on your I'm going to be an asshole suit, you'll get called pretty quickly. You'll get to see the other side of Mike, which, and then he'll give you a chance, and then if you double down on him, here's the best, if you double down and you're senior enlisted, like, it's like everybody clearing out, when they have the gunfight at the OK Corral, like, all right, stand back. Not going to be pretty, boys. Why? What's going to happen? Oh, don't worry. Trust me. He's giving him one chance. He's senior enlisted, and the guy's doubling down on him. Stand the fuck by. It's going to be good. Well, Mass Sergeant, it starts something like that, and then it goes for a while. The another email. Hey, Mac, did either one of you know Lee Ermey? You know what? I never met him. Mike, you had
I've met him.
As famous as you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, I've met him a few times.
Where did you meet him?
Oh, shit. On Camp Pendleton for functions. I met him at gun shows because he's a spokesman for Glock.
Yeah.
So I knew him
gun guy.
Through Glock.
Yeah.
And I met him, like, off and on everywhere, it seemed like.
So what was he like in person?
To be fair, I mean, he was always in a situation where it was
public.
Crowded and stuff, so his attention, I mean, so he's like anybody else. I mean, I couldn't say, you know, he's a captivating individual. He's very, entertaining, but, you know, like I said, I couldn't pass judgment on the guy because I don't know. I've heard both things. You know, I've heard, you know, that he's a complete, you know, great, nice guy, and I've heard the other thing. But I mean, it's like, who isn't? You know, I can be a really nice guy, and then if I don't like you, then I'm a really big asshole. So, you know, it's funny you say that because I ran into somebody. This is just before I got in the Marine Corps. And I'm not going to bring up their name, but
come on.
He said, hey, Gunner, man, I ran into Major such and such. And I said, really? And they're like, yeah, man, he hates you. And I said, really? Cool. You know, I wear that as a badge of honor. I mean, just as much as if you liked me. And he looked at me like, what? And I said, well, because do you know Major such and such? And they're like, well, briefly. And I said, so what's your first opinion of Major such and such? And they're like, oh, he's a freaking retard. And then they're like, oh, And I said, yeah. So now you know why he, can you picture in your imagination why he hates me? And they're like, no, we got to know the story. And I said, well, because the asshole was, he was up there. I told him not to say what he was going to say because it was nothing but shit coming out of his mouth. And he didn't know what he was talking about and people were going to get hurt. And he didn't really care because he was just meeting the deadline. And so when he started doing his little brief, I threw him on the street. And everybody took turns going after his innards, you know, from the chief to the G2 to the G3, all to division level. You know, everybody took turns on him. And then he was completely gutted to the point where it was, all right, we'll reconvene this another day when he gets his shit together. The chief was storming out the door, you know. And it was like, and then he comes at the balls, comes to me like, hey, thanks, you know, for throwing me in. They're like, I gave you every opportunity
he
to
does.
Fix this shit, man.
In all fairness, Mike does. He doesn't. You don't go into the bus the first time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I gave you every opportunity. I told you in your face, if you get up there and you brief this shit, I'm going to throw you in the bus. And then I do it, and now you're mad at me. Well, I didn't believe you. Oh, okay, well, at least you know, you may hate me, but you know I'm a man of my word. So, but yeah, it was always that same thing, like, oh man, I ran into this guy. He says he wants to kill you. Really? This was the captain, and oh man, I had so much fun with him, because we got back, and then I ran into him in Iraq, you know, and he was a company commander in an LAR unit, and, well, maybe he's the XO, one of the two, but, yeah, he was the XO, I'm sorry, he was lieutenant, and, he's a senior lieutenant, I'm like, he made the captain, but anyway, I said, so I pulled him aside, and you know, in front of these Marines, I said, hey, I heard you want to kill me. He looks at me, Connor, what are you talking about? And I said, you wanted to kill me, here's your chance, you got a gun in your hand, you got to flip it up safe. You're probably so retarded that you probably even know if there's probably not even rounds in the gun.
You didn't say that.
I know you.
You didn't say that in front of everybody.
No, not in front of his guys. But I was just like, I got your opportunity to kill me. Go for it. And he's like, well, what are you talking about? What are you telling everybody you want to kill me? Go for it, big man. Take a shot.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, let me just tell you, people that aren't experienced with how to hate people, they, you know, they make public statements. When you're serious and you know how to hate people, you keep that close hold. You don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't.
And I'm your friend.
Yeah.
I'm your friend all the way up until you feel the cold blade sticking inside of you. So. You're like, but Gunner, I thought we were friends. You're right. We are. But friends don't do this to each other. You're right. They don't. And they look at you that dismay like, but this doesn't make sense. You're right. It doesn't make sense. Die peaceful.
Oh my God.
Go away.
Yeah, that's like professional hating. It's not for amateurs. It's like, it's for serious people that are involved in serious hate. So yeah, people need to learn how to do that. Hate is not for amateurs, and especially professional when you tell other people shit like that. It's one thing when you tell your buddies because they'll keep it close hold and. No,
they won't. They're all.
No.
Everybody's a girl.
No.
Only.
No, no not with your. No, not, no, no, no. Not if you really hate them. If it's just goofing, yeah, then they'll talk about it. But if you really hate them, like if you hate them, they'll just.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not out in that. Because they know that they don't want to compromise your ability or your window, maybe, of revenge taking. Because that's an important piece of it.
You know what else I used to love to do, like that, what you're talking about? You go to the person that you just kind of don't like.
Right.
And say, you know what, just so on the record, you know, I don't like you. But, you know, we got to work together, so let's get past. But I want to tell you, I want to do an experiment. And they're like, okay, what do you mean? Well, I'm going to tell other people that I don't like you. And I just want to see who comes to you and tells you that I don't like you.
Because then I'm going to get him,
yeah,
too.
Sure. Yeah, because then they're on the list. And they're like, okay. And you know what? If you cooperate with me like this, you might be off the list.
Or you'll at least be moved down in the order of precedence. You might move from a tier one target to a tier two.
Right. And that could be everything.
Yeah, that could
be
everything.
And I've done that before. And I've done that before. And, you know, then you approach that person. You're like, so remember that time when I said, hey, did I trust you? And you're like, yeah. And I said, don't say anything. And you're like, yeah. Why did you say something? Oh, yeah. See, now you're lying again. Stop lying. Stop lying.
What?
And, you know,
what do you mean? I didn't say anything. Oh, then why did so-and-so tell me that you told him? And then they
get like the same thing.
Deer in the headlight look.
Parents, you know, you're always like, how did dad know? You know, he's asked that question. Did you do this? No, dad. You're like, no, I know you did this. I'm just asking you. This is like your time to like come out and be truthful.
Yeah, with me.
Did you do this? It's not really a question. I'm saying you did this, but I'm letting you, you know. And so they always knew the answer to the question. Always.
Right.
And it took a while, but I realized it. So every time then they started asking questions, like, did you do this? Yes, Dad, I did. I'm sorry. Even if I don't remember doing it, you cop to it.
You have to.
You know?
Yeah, if you're smart. If you're smart. My sister didn't do that.
You tell them that good.
Yeah. I learned as a kid. I was a, I was just an amateur pyromaniac. And so I turned the gas on once in the house and, I couldn't have been
That's
more.
That's like criminal behavior. Though.
I know. I
just lit fires in the backyard.
I did that.
You're trying to blow up the freaking house.
I did that too. So I didn't know how to shut it off.
Yeah, you graduated actually.
The fire, what I think happened is I shut the gas off, but you know how there's kind of residual gas in the line and it kind of takes a minute or so. I don't know if I didn't shut it off all the way. But there was still a little bit of flame coming out of the grill, and I was like,
"Yeah."
So I went and got water, and I poured, this is this like I poured water on the gas thing, and I put the flame out, right? So my dad comes in the house and he smells gas, and like, what's that? And so he walks over to the fireplace, he sees. Like some ashes of some paper that got burnt and water in the fireplace. Right. And he says, who did this?
And of course, silence.
I can't remember because I blacked out shortly thereafter. I can't remember what my response was. I don't know if I caught to it.
The dog or the cat? Which one would you? Yeah. See, the cat.
I don't know.
Being chased by the dog.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. I think I might have said, I don't know. He beat my ass. We didn't know. There was no, like,
so consciousness? Yeah,
yeah. There was no, let's talk about this so you can make a better decision next time bullshit. Right? There was no, like, timeout corner. You're going into timeout. There was, like, him going to the neutral corner after his, like, arm was tired from beating my ass. Oh, man.
They could have made a TV show about our dads taking their belt off like the rifleman. Whipping that thing around. Grabbing
man.
It and then whack, whack. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was a responsible pyromaniac. I would always at least burn stuff in the fire pit where we had a like my grandma and grandpa's backyard. We had a big fire thing where we'd burn trash, right?
Right. That's good.
So I'd go back there and light fires, of course, until one day, me and my cousin Peter, and he was about 3-4 years younger than me, so I was a bad influence on him.
Right.
We were playing with a blue propane bottle, you know, the kind that you use to screw in little torch, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And it was full, and we wanted to, like, get at the propane inside.
Sure.
I'd never seen propane.
Right.
I was young.
Right.
I wanted to see if it felt like it was a liquid. I wanted to pour it out, you know. Didn't know propane was in a gaseous state, you know. But in this form, it was in a liquid state, and then it would transform into a gas state. So we're trying to get this propane out, and it's not working. We don't have the nozzle thing. We just have the cartridge. Big, you know, the blue cartridge. So we think, I'll just punch a hole in it. You know, that'll work. Yeah, just put a hole in it and then pour it out. And then we can decide what we want to do with this propane. So we put this blue bottle laying on the trash thing. And we take my grandpa's heavy duty, like wrought iron pitchfork.
Yeah.
Like the big heavy with the old wooden handle with the black handle on top.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy as shit, man. Yeah. And we're kind of standing up. There's like a little shed. So we're standing on that. We're looking down at it. And I spear chuck this thing. And I get it first shot, man. And it pierced the bottle.
No way. How old were you?
I was like a teenager.
Oh, you're like a, you're
like a little kid.
You're like Tarzan, man. That's a Tarzan move.
No, it's aluminum bodies. They're not steel.
If you try to hit one of those cylinders, most of the time, if there's any angle, you have to hit it dead. If there's any angle, boom,
I
you're going left
five
to right.
Chances. There's a pitchfork, dude. I mean, it's not like I was shooting a spear.
I thought you were
a freaking spear with 5 points on it.
Still though, man. Okay, so you puncture. Then what happened?
We actually got it. Oh, the bottle went skyward. It took off. I mean, I just remember hearing that sound and being that, and then the first smell of propane ever, like, oh, that's propane. You know, that, I don't know, I hate that smell. But the bottle took off. Never to be found. Just gone. Skyward. Not with the pitchfork, of course. But, man, I was so scared because.
Well, what happened then?
I'd already been in. That was it. I don't know where the bottle landed. And it's not like it's in orbit still.
So did somebody go look for the bottle and say, does anybody know?
No, because then you're admitting guilt, man.
You never were convicted of this crime. Where did you get the bottle?
No. In the garage.
I know. So your grandpa never went looking for it and said, hey, anybody know where that propane bottle?
No, there's a whole shitload of them in there.
Oh, so you were covered.
He had all that tool stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. But see, there was.
What did your grandpa do for a living?
He was retired, but he was a longshoreman.
Ooh,
when he was.
That's why he lived in Chula Vista.
Yeah, he used to build ships.
Yeah, no shit. That was big stuff. NASCO.
But this is the same week, and this is why I didn't go look for it. Same week, Mike Musselman gets on the police blotter with the San Diego PD. Why? Because I shot a big fat pigeon off the top wire with a .22 in the backyard. It landed on a picnic table while people were eating.
Oh, come on, man. You're supposed to have better sense than to... I mean, why didn't you change the angle of the shot? You know you own that bullet. That's bad planning.
No, I hit the bullets hit the pigeon solid, man.
I know, but if you would have changed the angle, it wouldn't have landed on the table. It would have landed clear of the table.
Okay. No, what happened? Okay, so he's on the. There's two wires. He's on the bottom wire of the two, and he's right by the corner by the wooden post. So even back then, I'm thinking, okay, if I don't miss him, I'll hit the wood post. Okay, so I'm clear. So I go and shoot him. And I shoot him, and I hit him. It was a BB gun.
Right.
And I hit him, and I see the feathers just ruffle.
Right.
And he's like, what? Boy, if you're ever going to try and shoot me, you know, take down this wire, that gun ain't going to work. So I hit him early in the day with a BB gun. He didn't do anything. He flew off, came back, or a similar pigeon, maybe not the same one. And so I was like, okay. So I grabbed my grandpa's .22 rifle, and I was inside the house, aiming through the windowsill, so it's muffled noise. And I aim and line up on him, and I fired. Boom, and I hit him. Bam. And then he flew up, fluttered, and then just came spiral down, you know, crashing the ground. And then I heard screams.
Well, then that's not a good shot, then.
No, it was a clean shot. It's just where the body landed.
I know, but you didn't. If you would have got him right through the heart, I mean, like a true sniper would, he would have just gone down. There would have been no fluttering, and it would have been
I don't know. Anyway, I'm not a pigeon expert.
As catastrophic as it turned out.
I hide the gun.
Right.
And I'm like, everything back to normal.
Right.
You know, I'm like, okay, maybe they'll calm down.
Nothing to see here.
And yeah, nothing to see here. About an hour later, I hear a knock at the door.
Uh-oh.
Grandma answers the door, and there's a San Diego PD standing there, and he's got a big plastic bag, clear, like, evidence bag, with a bloody pigeon in it. And, yeah, it was like, and it was, get the gun that shot this pigeon. So I bring him this .45 that's a pellet gun that you had. It's a .45 pellet gun.
Okay.
You know, so it looks like a and it was like a one shot. You cock it once, push it forward, and then the, you load the BBs in the front. You kind of tip it 45 degrees, and you load it in there and put it in there.
Got it.
And then I bring him that, and I hand it to him, and he looks at me, and he goes, you expect me to believe that this gun that you're handing me right now did this to this pigeon? And he looks at me, and that's what I'm thinking, man, this is a good cop. He doesn't have to do the forensics. He just knows, you know? There's something about the, I mean, it was a bloody mess in that bag, and it was like,
So what happened? Did you go get the 22?
Oh, yeah. But I knew now when I brought it out there.
Somebody
my grandpa wasn't home.
Yeah, but somebody could get their ass beat.
An inch of skin off my ass. Yeah. And so he, you know, then they said, you know, my grandfather's gone. And then I didn't go to jail. I thought I was going to jail.
You should have.
Yeah, I was 12 or 11.
Yeah. So, hey, scared straight, man. Scared straight.
Yeah, right into the Marine Corps.
Yeah, exactly.
So, on my page one. Or in my contract, it's always so damn funny just saying there. You know, it was the only, when I was 18 years old, when I was joining the Marine Corps, it was the only run-in I had through the law. Well, other than that, shooting the paper boy with the belly gun. But other than that, those two incidences, it was the only times I ever had a run-in with the law. So I had to put those on my, you know, tell my recruiter. So they're still in my contract.
Nice.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, when they, and so I like looking through there, and it's like, you know, like on one of them says, shot pigeon in San Diego city limits with a 22 caliber rifle. And I'm like, yes. And then the second one, shot paper boy in Eden Prairie, Minnesota while on his paper route. I'm like, yes.
You were born.
Because if you don't know that guy,
you were
that
born.
Guy was a dipshit.
We should give you a bonus to join the Marine Corps. Look at you. The email. So I take it that neither one of you two ass clowns watched the Comey interview last night. I did not.
I recorded it though.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I didn't even do that. Let me tell you. I think James Comey's flawed leader, and now his book is he's going to cash in on it, and.
He should be in jail.
Yeah, I find it unseemly. So, but yeah. It is what it is. And let me tell you, I have no illusions about the president. The president's not a perfect, you know, leader.
No.
You know,
no.
But I just, it just seems to me like Comey. And so, no, I didn't watch it. I read most of the night. I bought, listen to this. I did a little experiment. And then I have a stripper question for you. Let me ask you the stripper question, and then headline: Stormy Daniels strips at across from Mira Largo at the Ultra Gentlemen's Club to make America horny again. My question is:
you know who gets horny off of Stormy Daniels stripping?
Guys that live in Mira Lago?
No, well, guys that have mullets that drive jacked up
Camaros
that drink Old Milwaukee's Best and have cigarettes still rolled in their sleeves.
Do you have any advice for people that like contemplate? Because strippers are people too. Dating strippers, good business, bad business? You have any advice?
I did it once.
Okay.
I did it once.
And?
Don't ever do it. No. whole level of crazy that you will never be prepared for. Ever.
Ever?
Ever. Yeah. And so, you know, here's me. I don't like drama, dude. I really don't. I hate drama.
Okay.
With a stripper, you're at like the 12th level of drama. You pass like that little bullshit drama. This is drama of, you know, if you walk out of me, I'm going to kill myself. All right. Well, can you make sure that you just don't mention my name as, you know, while you're doing this process? Or what are you looking at? What way are you looking at going out? I'm just making sure that, you know. No, I didn't do that. But, you know, it's just crazy shit, dude. Crazy shit. You know, you don't love me anymore. If you showed me any love, you'd come and get me. Well, where are you? San Francisco. What are you doing up in San Francisco? Don't ask me questions. You know, just... I'm telling you, dude, it was... And thank God, I think I was using Mark Simmons with my name back then, too, for that one. So, again...
Wait, for those of you who don't know, Gunner has an alias that he uses for obvious reasons. So...
Yeah,
so
but not an alias that I'm required by law to put on a background investigation. It was more of a
social
alias
event.
Because, yeah, you're like, this girl looks crazy, so I'm going to use Mark Simmons. And I think only once it ever backfired on me where she turned out to be a pretty cool girl, but I'd already been using Mark Simmons.
So you couldn't tell her your real name?
Well, I thought about, okay, how can I play this off? You know, like, what... How could you get out of a lie like that and make it sound good?
That's hard.
And then I, dude, it was so hard that I couldn't figure out a way, and I just decided not to. Could you imagine how crazy that would have been? Let me.
You don't love me or trust me.
Krista, let me tell you something. I couldn't tell you before. The reason I was using Mark Simmons, I'm a secret spy for the United States government. You know, like, come on, who'd believe that shit? Or, Krista, the only reason I use Mark Simmons is he's one of my good friends who passed away, and I use his name for, you know.
My dad's Howard Hughes, and I don't want everybody to know.
Okay, when she finds out you're not Howard Hughes, she's like, okay, let's go. I need to borrow $10,000. Well, see, it's not like that.
Yeah, it's not like I know him. Yeah. He left
my dad, yeah. I don't even know my dad.
He left my mom, and it's pretty upsetting to me. I just don't like talking about it.
We're in a big legal battle over his heir.
Right. Can we just not talk about it? So, wait a minute.
But now you're telling lies. You tell lies.
Right,
get out of a lie.
I know, but you have to at this point because you might like her, so you have to lie to her, right?
Well, no. That's where I almost did the, hey, you know, here's the truth. My name is this, and the reason I told you because I thought you were going to be some crazy, weird, stalking woman.
It's a compliment.
Like all the others.
Yeah.
Yeah. It turned out to be a very normal woman.
Yeah.
And I'd like to have a relationship with you. No. Because then what if she just triggers crazy after that? Like, right after that, she goes crazy.
Or what if she tells you that, no, well, I think you're crazy for doing that, so I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, you're calling me crazy? Who the hell changes? Who the hell uses their fake name when they're meeting people? You're right. You got a point there.
You got a point there. But I love you. Then that's when you're going to...
Yeah. Doesn't that change it? This could be like a movie.
Yeah. Please.
This could have to leave after.
Plead insanity and throw yourself on the mercy of the court. If not, on to the next one. On to the next one.
Yeah, it'll just be another one. And another one.
Montana Man, I had an ops clerk who put never marry a stripper on his email signature. Yeah, he needs to be counseled. I mean, notwithstanding the fact that he's right, but yeah, you don't need to put Marines put the stupidest
comment.
Shit
yeah.
on their email signatures. It's amazing. Yeah, it's amazing.
Drink heavy and die once. What?
Yeah, they do it, and then they're. I remember hearing this in a transition class. Okay. You know your email, you might want to get a new one that just has your name in it. Like, what do you mean? Kill them all and let God sort them out at gmail.com? That's probably not what you want your employer to see. Okay?
Yeah. Flaccid penis, snowy eagle. No, that's not one that you be open for prime time.
Yeah. That, yeah.
It's like gamer tag. Don't use your gamer tag as your email address.
You know what? And the best part about this, it's not like Mike had to go searching very long to find that little piece of data that he just threw out there.
No, I bring that up because I had a Marine whose email address was flaccid penis. And I asked him, what the hell is this? When he put on a little information sheet, sir, it's a gamer tag. We'll never do this. This is stupid. Pick the one that they self-generate, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, KG, A, B, J, J, K. That's a lot better than this stupid flaccid penis one at gmail.com.
Yeah. It's look, the best part of the Marine Corps is you can't make this stuff up, okay? Dating
Well, these guys came up with the weirdest shit, dude. You're like, I told you this. If you could literally get a writer down and write all of these things and come up with this miniseries or something, people would watch the pilot and be like, this is bullshit.
Yeah, this is crazy.
Like,
nobody would do
far,
this.
No way.
Nobody would
no
do
way.
This
is like, nah, this ain't the Marine Corps. Come on. Yeah. No, it is.
It can't be this crazy. It can't be this crazy. The, I don't know if I should tell this. A little bit off color, but I will. I was a second lieutenant. I was a junior lieutenant in 1st Battalion, 5th Marines. We were getting ready to do our McCree.
Right.
Armor Crest at the time. And we were out by, we were kind of in an admin bivouac out by the Las Pulgas Gate, going to get picked up by helicopters in the morning. So, you know, we're just, you know, distributing chow, blanks, and all the bullshit. And then, you know, once everything got done, we were just hanging out. And one of my Lance Corporals, well, he's a PFC because he tried to commit suicide by swallowing a steak bone. His name was Greg. Name was Gregory.
What?
Exactly. I wasn't there when it happened. I just saw the entries as I was going through his service record book. And I said, well, how did he try to kill himself? With a steak bone, sir. Now, I'm a second lieutenant, and I know I don't. Like, can you kill yourself with a steak bone? Not sure, sir. But he
sure.
But he tried. He tried. He tried to swallow it. Yeah, and kill himself. Okay. Well, Gregory said that he had sex 8 times in one night with a woman. Okay? So. With the same one? Yeah, same woman. 8 times. So, I immediately said, that's bullshit. And he insisted that it was true. And I said, okay, let's have a trial. Let's do this. This is a democracy. So I set up, I impanel, like, my staff sergeant was a prosecutor. A corporal by the name of Dennis was his attorney. And he had another Lance Corporal, assistant attorney by the name of Canada. And then the rest of the platoon was the jury, and I was the judge. And so we're conducting this trial.
Oh, this is already fair. Yeah.
We're conducting this trial, and let me tell you, it's hilarious. Absolutely. The cross-examination of the questioning is side-splitting hilarious, and it's dark. And so we're having an indoor trial, and all of a sudden, out of the dark, I hear, what the fuck is going on over here? And it's my company commander. We were making too much noise, Eddie Bickham. So out of the dark, and everybody freezes, right? So I'm sitting on some MREs, like 3 boxes of MREs, which was my throne as the judge. And I stand up, and I said, sir, PFC Gregory said he had sex with a woman 8 times in one night. And as a platoon, a lot of people don't believe that. We're having a trial to get to the bottom of it. Right? And with that, you hear my platoon go, right? Like, what? And I stood there, and he said, Gregory said what? I said, yes, sir, 8 times, one night. He said, who's the judge? I said, I am, sir. He said, move out of the way. So my company commander sits. He becomes the judge. It's hilarious. But that's, I mean, the Marine Corps is a funny place and a crazy place with all this crazy shit going on. So, anyway.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get.
No. It's a funny place, honestly. It is one of the funniest, if you ever want to work at a pretty fun place. And it gets more fun if you have good people. If you have good people, but sometimes you have choir boys and they're no fun at all. They're too serious because you've got to learn how to make it breathe. But let me tell you, you laugh your ass off. Ask Mike. Right? Mike. I mean, like I said, the things that we've talked about, like, you know, I was talking about coffee enemas one day, and Mike comes blowing through. And I said, hey, Gunner, have you ever had a coffee enema? He said, yeah, they're awesome.
Who hasn't?
Yeah, they're awesome. And with that, all these heads turn like, what did he say? Like, well, what is it like? Do you like, what flavor coffee? He's like, I don't know. I couldn't taste it.
And you don't then, drink it afterwards.
And then he describes the whole thing. And I think it was after Montana Man talked about, I don't know how we got on talking about.
William Husk.
And he said, yeah, I use it, but I use the equine version. I use the...
Yeah, he uses the, like, the stuff you give a horse, like the real...
So we're talking
the horse slow.
Yeah, we're talking about cleansing, and so, yeah, you have these, you're like, what? And then Mike walks in, yeah, coffee enema. I've had one. And you're just, oh, it's... And then they tell you, like, what they honestly do. Oh, it's euphoric. You start, yeah, you take it. It's awesome. You're on a natural high for a week because all this black tar falls out of you. That might be too much information. Might be too much information. All right. Any parting words for everybody?
No. Have a great day, man.
All right. Have a great day, Mike. See ya.
Okay. We'll talk to
you later. All right. There you have it.
Go Sox.
Go Sox. And don't date a stripper. Words to live by from Mike Musselman. All right, if you don't like a little bit of profanity and some off-color humor, then turn your radio down for 5 minutes and 55 seconds. Because on our way out, you're going to hear a little tribute to Lee Ermey. Staff Sergeant, United States Marine Corps, passed away last night, known as the Gunny, a rank he was given honorarily by General Jones in 2002. So he was an ambassador of the Marine Corps, and a lot of people knew the Marine Corps through him, the Gunny. And so on our way out today, we honor his memory, and the character he portrayed, I think, is what a lot of people remember of their experience in the Marine Corps. A gunnery sergeant, Mike Musselman was one, and as a gunny, your job is to have personality and to be loud and get shit done. And I will tell you, they are as funny can be. And when you hear him just going off, and Mike must have been priceless because he's a funny dude, then it's something that just makes you laugh. So, fair winds and following seas to the gunny, R. Lee Ermey, as we get out of here on a Monday. Tomorrow you're going to hear Roger Turner talk about Afghanistan, and he did a little bit with the Brookings Institute. So you'll hear that tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And Roger Turner just back, Task Force Southwest, so went back into pretty interesting stuff. I'll tease it a little bit right here. Supporting them, but not helping them too much is the takeaway. Because if you help them too much, they become dependent on you, and you don't want them. You want to encourage them, you want to support them, but you don't want to get in front of them. And so, very, very interesting. The other piece I think that's really important that he talks about in the interview is being able to fiscally sustain, the effort. And I think, given what's going on in Syria, you know, for the United States to be able to draw its numbers down and what it's doing down in Afghanistan, in Iraq, is important so you can sustain it for the long run, so that we don't have to go back there. So being able to do it effectively, not only on the ground but fiscally as well, is not a small endeavor. So he talks about that. So Brigadier General Roger Turner was at Brookings for about an hour last week or the week before. And you'll hear that tomorrow. And then later on this week, you'll hear our Olympic gold medalists, Monique and Jocelyn. You'll hear Jocelyn Lamoureux Davidson, who scored the gold winner in a shootout. You'll hear her, and we'll see if we can catch up with Monique as well, too. So, yeah, cool stuff. More of a... All Marine Radio, the show repeats itself as we head out the door with our salute to Gunnery Sergeant R. Lee Ermey.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you. Sound off like you got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
All right. If you're in a situation where profanity is inappropriate, I would tell you that put you either turn this down and turn it back up in 6 minutes, or put your headset on.
If you ladies leave my island, if you survive recruit training, you will be a weapon. You will be a minister of death praying for war. But until that day, you are pukes. You are the lowest form of life on earth. You are not even human fucking beings. You are nothing but unorganized, grabastic pieces of amphibian shit. Because I am hard, you will not like me. But the more you hate me, the more you will learn. I am hard, but I am fair. There is no racial bigotry here. I do not look down on niggers, kikes, wops, or greasers. Here you are all equally worthless. And my orders are to weed out all non-hackers who do not pack the gear to serve in my beloved Corps. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
What's your name, scumbag?
Sir, Private Brown, sir.
Bullshit, from now on you're Private Snowball. Do you like that name?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, there's one thing that you won't like, Private Snowball. They don't serve fried chicken and watermelon on a daily basis in my mess hall.
Sir, yes, sir.
Is that you, John Wayne? Is this me?
Who said that? Who the fuck said that? Who's the slimy little communist shit twinkle toed cocksucker down here who just signed his own death warrant? Nobody, huh? The very fucking godmother said, I'm fucking standing. I will PT you all until you fucking die. I'll PT you until your assholes are sucking buttermilk. Was it you, you scroungy little fuck, huh?
Sir, no, sir.
You little piece of shit, you look like a fucking worm. I bet it was you.
Sir, no, sir.
Sir, I said it, sir.
Well, no shit. What have we got here? A fucking comedian, Private Joker. I admire your honesty. Hell, I like you. You can come over to my house and fuck my sister. You little scumbag! I got your name! I got your ass! You will not laugh. You will not cry. You will learn by the numbers. I will teach you. Now get up! Get on your feet! You had best unfuck yourself or I will unscrew your head and check down your neck!
Sir, yes, sir!
Private Joker, why did you join my beloved Corps?
Sir, to kill, sir!
So you're a killer?
Sir, yes, sir!
Let me see your war face.
Sir!
You got a war face? Ah! That's a war face! Now let me see your war face!
Ah!
Bullshit! You didn't convince me! Let me see your real war face!
Ah!
You don't scare me! Work on it!
Sir, yes, sir!
What's your excuse?
Sir, excuse for what, sir?
I'm asking the fucking questions here, Private. Do you understand?
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, thank you very much. Can I be in charge for a while?
Sir, yes, sir.
Are you shook up? Are you nervous?
Sir, I am, sir.
Do I make you nervous?
Sir.
Sir, what? Are you about to call me an asshole?
Sir, no, sir.
How tall are you, Private?
Sir, 5'9", sir.
5'9"? I didn't know they stacked shit that high. You trying to squeeze an inch in on me somewhere, huh?
Sir, no, sir!
Bullshit, it looks to me like the best part of you ran down the crack of your mama's ass and ended up as a brown stain on the mattress. I think you've been cheated.
Where in hell are you from anyway, Private?
Sir, Texas, sir!
Holy dog shit, Texas, only steers and queers come from Texas, Private Cowboy. And you don't much look like a steer to me, so that kind of narrows it down. Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir!
Are you a Peter Pepper?
Sir, no, sir!
I'll bet you're the kind of guy that would fuck a person in the ass and not even have the goddamn common courtesy to give him a reach around. I'll be watching you. Did your parents have any children that lived?
Sir, yes, sir!
I'll bet they regret that. You're so ugly you could be a modern art masterpiece. What's your name, fat body?
Sir, Leonard Lawrence, sir.
Lawrence, Lawrence, what, of Arabia?
Sir, no, sir.
That name sounds like royalty. Are you royalty?
Sir, no, sir.
Do you suck dicks?
Sir, no, sir.
Bullshit, I'll bet you could suck a golf ball through a garden hose.
Sir, no, sir.
I don't like the name Lawrence. Only faggots and sailors are called Lawrence. From now on, you're Gomer Pyle.
Sir, yes, sir.
Do you think I'm cute, Private Pyle? Do you think I'm funny?
Sir, no, sir.
Then wipe that disgusting grin off your face.
Sir, yes, sir.
Well, any fucking time, sweetheart.
Sir, I'm trying, sir.
Private Pyle, I'm going to give you 3 seconds. Exactly 3 fucking seconds to wipe that stupid-looking grin off your face, or I will gouge out your eyeballs and skull-fuck you. 1, 2, 3.
Sir, I can't help it, sir.
Bullshit! Get on your knees, scumbag. Now choke yourself. God damn it, with my hand, numbnuts! Don't pull my fucking hand over there. I said choke yourself. Now lean forward and choke yourself. Are you through grinning?
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I can't hear you.
Sir, yes, sir.
Bullshit, I still can't hear you. Sounds off like you've got a pair.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's enough. Get on your feet. Private Pyle, you had best square your ass away and start shitting me tiffany cufflinks, or I will definitely fuck you up.
Sir, yes, sir.